So good morning all together. Nancy, nice to see you also. Now, let's see, we are on September 21st. Well, the year is speeding by. And I am just always so grateful to sit here with all of you. And I would like to begin with a heart hug and ask you this time to send love to some part of your body that would really appreciate a smile and a recognition and an acknowledgement from you. And let's just quietly do a few of these hard hugs. And you might check your preferred direction today. And let's send out this appreciation to all of the people on the planet who are dealing with this part that you're speaking to. It has some issue with that. And just imagine that they suddenly feel a desire to connect with that part of the body and acknowledge the intelligence this cellular phenomenal knowing consciousness in each cell in our bodies. And celebrate. Give thanks that it's possible for us to connect in this way. And ask that part of your body, the cells, if they could speak to you, what would they like to say to you? And just open your heart and open your ears. And put your hands on the part that does appreciate this acknowledgement. And do some tea touches there. And it can be in the air, it can be on the body, it can be from just in your mind. And just observe what part of your hand you would like to use to apply the touches on that area, whether it's in your mind or actually on your body? And I invite you to share some part of this that you would like, this movement, this exercise that we did, getting in touch with the part of the body who would appreciate attention and love. Good morning, Chanel and Ava and Anna and Megan. Hi. Susan. Hi. Joy. Tyra. Good morning. Or evening.
Yeah.
So I would like to share my whole intestinal area, that all that wonderful mid part that has been so present in my mind ever since my fall by the pool a year ago. And it's just the message was the appreciation of getting in touch with this, and because I've been doing that a lot over this last year, and the new information that I'd never actually looked at, what was, I always think of just that one like horseshoe movement that we made, but I wasn't paying attention to all the rest of the many feet of this incredible core of our body and all that's in there. And so I found myself sometimes using the side of my thumb not to talk to it, which is the elephant seal. And then I found myself using the chimp, and I tried, is it the chimp or the baby chimp or the orang? No, it's actually really nice just between the second and first and second joints here. I actually felt that. And then I'm as I'm talking to you about it, I'm bringing in this amazing chimp that I worked on, not worked on, I was with for 10 days in Zambia when a friend and I went there to raise money for these, for a really big enclosure on the Chimfunzi chimpanzee sanctuary in Zambia. And these, it's so interesting where something like that leads me, these stories that follow through as I just follow the dialogue, the conversation that came to me from that. Is there anybody who would like to share? In the sharing, you, I think you may have found you actualize, no? It becomes more real, more present.
I'd like to share it, Chanel, just me in line.
Hi, Chanel. Go ahead.
Okay, so I got the same message as you, Linda. The cells spoke to me and said, thank you for being so good to your body, for eating so, trying to help us with eating so many good foods. Because, you know, I go out and I try to buy organic apple juice, and, you know, every now and then I try my best, even though I am eating a lot so that I shouldn't. And then when Eleanor was saying, don't, you know, how the cells your body and your system goes into a bad reaction. And I thought about that when I was eating these yellow cheesies. I thought, these aren't good for me. But my cells are still happy. And they're saying thank you. And then so I didn't realize I had pain in my back. I never get pain in my back. But I put and I use the back of my hand. And my favorite is the chimp. Like you were saying, I can't believe it. I'm not sure if I'm using baby orangutan or chimp. But I use the back of my hand and the pain went away. So then I felt use the coiled python on my arm because I tore a bicep muscle and I use a coiled python. And then I went and I had a little pain here and do just the back, just this part right here, right here, on both sides of my head. And then I realized I just fixed my posture. So that just happened.
So you're using the baby chimp with the back of the fingernails, the back of the fingernails like this. Cool. Nice. Thank you. Thank you. Megan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I missed the first part, so I missed the exercise. But, you know, I've had a lot of back pain, but, you know, dealing with it. And it's sort of good day, bad day. And when I put my hands back there, probably in the, you know, the mammal, the, you know, flat, and do the divine circle in a quarter or just about a quarter, it, you know, it goes away and then it comes back, but it does go away. And so it's an issue of consistency and just do it all the time, girlfriend, come on. So when I do it, it really helps. And, you know, I've been taking those, I took the capsule form of the GI formula that you recommended that we put right on the website.
Yeah.
Amazing. 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 Oh my goodness. I'm only doing five. You can do five twice a day. I'm starting with five once a day. And there's a release soon after that is brilliant. Having, you know, done a lot of colonics and experienced, you know, what you're supposed to do, I know when it's right and things are right, and it's beautiful. So I really love that product, and thank you.
I stopped
taking the other.
Happy, you know. Also, one of the things I suggest is try different parts of the hand. I've changed my position here. I'm sort of squinched, crunched in here, so it's not so easy for me to move as it was. So like if you can, it may be easier for you, because normally like it's easier for me to use two hands, but right now I'm feeling if you would use Angela's manatee,
that's it.
Just that's the part, like taking your, can you see this well enough?
The wrist, sorry. Kind of like the wrist.
And it's the wrist. Yeah. And you curve your hand so you have the, I think of those beautiful, peaceful manatees. I don't know if you can see well enough what I'm doing here. Because my.
I could, hope yes.
Oh, no, you can't. It's like,
Yeah, we see you.
Can you?
I see, yes. I see, exactly.
Now,
okay.
And the other time, sometimes along. Also using the owl would be something.
Okay. Or I like that.
That's another possibility.
Yeah, I like the owl. Wow, it sort of gets in
now,
there.
It does. Now, the thing is, do that just a few times, and then sit back and simply imagine that you're doing it. Okay. Because that's how I managed to get over this arthritic joint in my ankle joint that I broke in 1984. And the doctor told me that when I turned 60, it would turn arthritic. And it did. It never bothered me until that year. I mean, not all of you have heard this story. And so I'd be fine, but every once in a while I'd be walking along and like, I couldn't move. So I'd stop, reach down, do with just with the pads of my fingers, you know, the clouded leopard. Just do two or three T-touches on it. And then stop and the pain would go and it wouldn't come back for usually a couple of months. And this went on until I was 72 years old, from the time I was 60 until I was 70. And how it affected me is that, like, I didn't want to walk down the Grand Canyon when we went for our second anniversary because I was afraid that it would, like, maybe I couldn't fix it like I always had. And so I rode a mule down instead, which was a good choice, actually. But when I was 72, I'm walking up here in our grocery store, and suddenly it got me again, but this time, like, oh my God, it was like really bad. And so I hopped on one leg overt and bought crutches, and I crutched home and I sat down and I thought, why did I believe that doctor? That was 12 years ago. It hasn't happened since.
All right.
And the big thing is, I'm not suggesting this is something different. That was something a doctor put in me. But what worked for me, Megan, and all of you, I would do a few touches. I mean, literally three or four. And then I would just continue the touches in my mind. It's really nice to have the physical if it's easy for you. But if it's not easy to get there, just do a little bit and then smile at it. Smile at it. This is the hardest thing to do. And once we can start, I feel you, I see you, I can work with you. And when you know that, as you've seen, and we can either get frustrated because you don't do it enough, or you can say, hello. I hear you. Okay. And go back and just like change the frequency, because that's what we're doing. Wow. We're just shifting the frequency of the cells. That's what I believe. And when Denise comes on later, she's just getting her hair done. So I wish you could have seen her. She had this silver cap on her head. She's getting her hair color. So
yes, but I hear you. I'm there, but I'm not.
Oh, come on, we want to see you. I just love it.
No. Later. if it's ready, then I show it.
Oh my God, I liked your silver head. It was like you were a space being, like, right. Beam me up.
All right, 1 second, there it is.
Yes, that's it, fantastic. All right, that's why I love Zoom, right? Okay, Sarah, you have your hand up. Have you written something? Okay, I look in the chat. Sarah doesn't have, she can hear us, but she can't. The back. The steps work. What steps? Sorry. Go ahead and type in. I'll come back and read it after you've typed a little bit more. Okay, thank you. So Megan, how does that sound to you?
It sounds brilliant. I'm going to try it starting today. I'm going to try it over. I'm going to try it. And I will report back next week. Because, you know, I was told, you know, I had this spondy, I really ought to have surgery, which I'm not going to do, and blah, blah, blah. So the power of suggestion is terrible with these doctors. And So I hear you. That was so great. And I just have to say the same thing to them. No, I have a better way. And so I'm going to try that. And I wrote it down and changing the frequency, smiling at it, do some touches and then do them in my mind. I'm going to try it. It sounds wonderful. And I have some Beamer information too, but we can do that some other time.
Right. And the thing is, listen, call me and I'm absolutely happy to help you. You don't have to, okay. If you can't get a hold of that person, just call me.
She was here. The person who sold it to me, who's also a Masterson tech, she's a Masterson method person. And she does some of my courses now. And she's wonderful. And I love her. And she's a friend, but she's young, you know, she's in probably in her late 30s and you know,
it takes a lot of experience.
So she has turned me on. She's just sent me a bunch of things to look into online. And she said she would hook me up with the person who's the head of the Beamer in Sedona, the Beamer group. And if I wanted, and that there was stuff, she told me some things to do as well. So
great.
It's all good.
I can tell you from a lot of personal experience stuff you can do.
I know. That. I'll call you if that's okay. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Totally okay. Absolutely. Sorry. Excuse us all. So I would love to, Sage, if you would share with us.
And Linda, really quickly, Sarah did write a message what she wanted to share. So whenever, let me know.
Can you read it?
Yeah, did you want to take Sage first or should I read it?
Read it.
Okay, so from Sarah, she wrote, I got in touch with my lips and the message from the cells was, you're all like a red rose. While I did little tiny touches just with the fingertip, I realized my TMJ is all tense. And the next one, I'm not totally sure what she said. So she said, what about hear you and see you to the emotions?
Yeah, what about? I would say that's an invitation. Yes. Important, because I think so often we're told not to trust our emotions, possibly. I can imagine what you're going through right now, because her husband is just gone back to Hawaii from Italy, and there you are. So just remember, you're together. He's not gone. He's in your heart. So thank you. And so one of the things that actually I want to mention that you brought up, Megan, what part was it? Oh, the smile. So Charlotte Walker asked if I would give her the details of the heart hug. And because she's gone through several courses with me in the last years or so, but she couldn't remember all the details of the heart hug. And she wants to share it with her group. And so what I'd like us to do after hearing from Sage, I'd like to take what you just said, Megan, and that is remember the smile, because that is so essential, an emotion of acceptance and love, if you put in that smile to yourself. And you can give this, you come up with a message, but I have the same thing with my back, you all. Holy mackerel, I'm really fortunate. I don't have pain. I just, after sitting for a while, like when I'm sitting with you, I don't get it, because I am on this stool. I have to show you this. Marnie and I were laughing in Becky's class the other, was it Becky or? Yeah, Marnie, it was in Becky's class. I have this stool and it rotates, and these are foam, so I can move the whole time I'm sitting here, and it's I don't know if you could see this, it's this It's like a saddle. It's this triangular shape and it goes up and down. And so I'm not sitting still here. When I sit watching like a movie at night and then I get up, oh man, I'm like an old lady. I see you, Marty. I'm like this, oh, for a couple of steps. And I'm really tired. It makes me incredibly fatigued just sitting there. I don't feel tired when I'm sitting. I feel tired when I get up. Then I force myself to move because then I may be getting ready for bed, like brush my teeth and the stuff I do, you know, then I'm okay. And so I'm realizing that when I'm all with you, I'm always moving like this, moving my pelvis, doing these little, you know, infinity figure eight movements, because I can do this so easily on my stool. And so this, what's important in the smile is the looking for the gratitude for all of us. Wait a minute. The fact that I can fix it in a little bit. It's, you know, is it the osteoporosis I'm dealing with? Interesting. My husband says it's my age. Interesting. My grandmother didn't have that at 86. She was still like rowing down the river, but then she was moving all the time. And in COVID, I'm not moving. And I'm just wondering what that's doing to those who don't move as much as we used to before COVID. So the smile is a big part of it. And I'm just going to leave that with you. And then I want to hear from Sage. And then I'd like us to review, what are the components of the heart hug? Because my nephew does it. That's all he does. Put one of his beautiful small hands over the other and just does these little move around like, that's it. He doesn't know any of this other stuff. He doesn't know to smile. Because he's really focusing on it now. He doesn't know what a difference it makes when we breathe. You know? And wow, when we send active appreciation to the cells. And we have that when we add those things in. And the fact that, let's see, what else do we know about the gentle movement of the tissue? So we're going to come back to that. Sage,
hi.
I'd love to know what you got. Good morning. I'm sorry I missed your call yesterday.
Good morning. It's okay. I know how to find you. So here's what I noticed. Today is my sister's birthday, which is also the day that our mother passed away. So there's some charge to today. And my sister and her husband and James and I also tested for COVID yesterday. We got tested. We're awaiting results. And my sister doesn't feel well. Her husband feels okay. James and I feel fine. But that's a little bit of the backstory. So we're sitting in this kind of, it's a full moon and I'm a Cancer. So there's, you know, there's kind of a cacophony of things. But here's what I noticed it was like coming home when I just was like the invitation to bring my hands back up to my heart. It was like, Oh yeah. Here's this place of home that just felt so lovely. And I began with my hands on my chest, but then I moved to, I've been really playing with working the sternum, my whole sternum from where the diaphragm is, and I'm doing what I'm calling this mommy long legs, where I have the fingers here, and I'm actually, this morning I was working both hands all the way around and then slight little lifts.
Let's follow you.
Yeah, I can do these little circles together with both hands and then bringing a slight little lift up. And I can feel this all the way up down to my toes.
Wow.
And so then I asked my cells, you know, what are my cells wanting to say? And it was grief. And, you know, there's these little waves of grief, letting go of my mom 4 years ago. And then I moved into just a little clouded leopard over my heart, over the physical heart. And one thing I've been really playing with working over the physical heart is like a half pressure or a one, just so lightly, because there is the, you know, we talk about wearing your heart on your sleeve. And I really believe there's times when I work my heart, I can feel the skin feels tender because my heart feels tender. So today is a day of a, I would call it bittersweet, just kind of without the bitter. It just feels like a sweet, tender day. James, my husband, is going to play a song that he wrote for my mom's funeral for, as a remembrance today for us. And we sang to my sister this morning, and it's just kind of everything's coming together today. And that what my cells were wanting was to be willing to grieve. And it surprised me a little. It was like, oh, I thought I was done. It's like, oh no, there's a little bit, you know. So, and then I saw this image of rainbow light moving. And it felt like it was not necessarily moving just between my cells, but between my cells and out to the universe and back. This energy of rainbow light. So it was really a beautiful experience and very subtle, very gentle. And thanks for calling me out to share it. It feels like a special day over here. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Marnie, we'll take you, and then we'll go back to the other components that we can bring in to the tea touch. Victoria, hi, nice to see you. Marnie, you had your hand up before.
Oh, sorry, I took it down because I'll share it later.
Okay, great. So let us think, what are some of the other components, the details of the heart hug that give us more understanding, more awareness? What about the intensity of the contact? What about, does anyone who remembers the 2000 person study done by the American Massage Association about oxytocin related to pressure, the contact of pressure? Anybody remember that? It's so interesting. I mean, I say it a lot, and these are things that I think are really worth paying attention to because it gives you a deeper understanding. Megan, are you raising your hand?
I remember what that was. Okay. As a massage therapist, I was always really good at the issue. But I hate receiving it, but I love giving it. Well, anyway, learning that fact from you, from the AMA, from whoever did the study, that the light pressure will release the oxytocin and the deep pressure will release the cortisol. I'm like, all those years I did deep pressure. Oh no. But I hated it. I didn't want, don't touch me like that. And I like the light pressure. So it is so true. It's gotta be true. My body will test to it. And anyway, that was the answer.
See, thank you. And the thing is, what they were hoping from the study, but this is actually in the book, Wrap It Up For You, done by my sister and my niece, Mandy Pretty. And let me show this to you. This is the book, and in it, these are all different ways of wearing the wraps. And I'm thinking that really we should maybe if you could bring ace wraps the next time and we can play with some of these, it would be great. It makes a difference if they're colored because the colors have a vibrational effect on us, but well, we can pretend. You can choose the color you wish it would be. But I want to read you the direct quote here because perhaps it will help you remember. In summary, so in principle, this was on page 54. Grab head wrap. So it's they've changed it. They've added something in. So I don't know exactly where that is. Here it is. It's so exciting that I have these little $10 readers. This small stuff. So light touch releases oxytocin and soothes the polyvagal system. In our group, Susan was particularly comforted by the feeling of safety and security provided by the wraps. This is a long piece about the pilot study that was done by Robin Bernhardt and Sandy Rakowitz over a year of meeting with people with brain injuries where they had been told that they could find no possibility for improvement, and they all lived with caregivers and came with caregivers. So Susan was particularly comforted by the feeling of safety and security provided by the wraps, and we saw a similar pattern as each person responded. This was an initial quieting. There was an initial quieting, a serious facial expression that was accompanied by the appearance of a soft eye and an internal focus. Next, either a positive or negative reaction promptly occurred. When the reaction was positive, we saw a sudden look of surprise, followed by smiling, laughing, and playfulness. If the reaction was negative, the wrap was removed and a new location was explored. Some have said that the wraps generate a study design, a feeling of security, like a hug. A study designed to explore the benefits of massage was expected to demonstrate that massage supports the immune system by boosting the body's level of oxytocin, the trust hormone, in quotes, and thereby indirectly reducing the body's secretion of cortisol, the stress hormone, in quotes. Both groups in this study, funded by the US government's National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, showed an increase of oxytocin, but the people in the control group who received light touch, in quotes, actually produced more oxytocin and therefore less cortisol than the people in the deep touch group. This news was very interesting since all T-touch, Tellington T-touch falls in the category of light touch, which isn't quite true actually, because if you're working with somebody, you're sharing T-touch with someone, and this is the difference. We ask them, like, do they prefer? Like you start with if the person is in pain, I'll start with a 2 pressure. And then I'll ask them, if they're in pain anywhere, I'll ask them, so would you prefer a little more pressure or a little less? And they often say that just that, or they can ask for less or more. We give them a choice. And Megan, it's interesting, isn't it? As a massage therapist, you're taught a method, and the massage therapist thinks that they know what people want, and it's not a question of getting a response, because the training is, hey, this is what we do, and holy mackerel, it took me.
I did go to a school where you're constantly asking, is that pressure okay? Is that too much? So there was a real, of tension to a compassionate approach. Yeah.
Which is lovely. I find there's a difference. Sorry? Say it again.
A lot of massage schools are not that way, especially the Swedish Institute. It's like, ah, you will massage this way.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, it's just like, I had a massage years ago in the UK, and I was in London, and I lay down on the table, and I said to the person, I have done the Feldenkrais training, and I really like light contact. And she said, I know what I'm doing. And I thought, uh-oh. And she put her hands on me with so much pressure, and I was lying on my stomach, and I leapt up in the air, like off the table, boom, jump. And I said, oh, excuse me, I respond like a horse. And I'm telling you, she lightened up the whole thing. Today, I think, well, I just don't do that anymore. I don't go for massage anymore unless I know the person, because this concept of, like, I got really hurt a couple of years ago by this guy being really nice, being really careful in Santa Fe. We had this wonderful place, and he found this one spot that I have here and just went in with so much pressure. It took me months to get over that. And I mean, I stopped him instantly, but it was too late. And it's just so interesting that there's a difference between, is this okay? And asking, would you like less pressure or more pressure? And getting people to think about it, not always possible. Because some people just want you to go in and do something, which is great, you know? And obviously that must be the average person or wouldn't be so popular. And I think the question is, like, why do some people really like deep pressure? And because most massage starts at what we would consider a 6 or 7 pressure. And yet some people need that to feel. And that's why I stopped here at this, most tea touches light pressure. Yes, most, but you really, I made a big mistake once in the father of my godson, where he asked to experience the Feldenkrais work. And he eventually took his own life because he never got any help for his issues that he had. And the thing is, I felt that his whole nervous system was like needed light contact, I worked really lightly on his feet, really carefully with the whole points of the whole body, thinking I'm working with the whole body. This is not a normal Feldenkrais thing, but I did this on people as a Feldenkrais practitioner. I did this a number of times with people who were really suffering from something that they hadn't gotten any help for. And this is way before T-Touch. And I thought I did this beautiful work on him, and he stood up and he said, well, what was that about? And I realized I wasn't giving him what he needed. He couldn't feel. And I had another friend who never, I mean, I worked on her for years with the Feldenkrais work, and I thought it was so beautiful what I was doing for her, and she never could feel it. She drank at least a bottle or two of wine every night. Brilliant, brilliant human being. And yet she couldn't feel her body. And I'm saying this because some of us, some have shut down their feelings or shut off the body due for, in her case, I think it was alcohol. And the question is, how can we meet them where they're at? And that's how this ninth element, the feedback, and really asking, you know, so would you like more pressure or less? So that's a long story, but sometimes I hope that you remember the story in a way that will be useful to you in some way. I can remember working on a vet who unfortunately has now crossed the Rainbow Bridge young. And I couldn't believe it when I put my hands on him. It felt like dough under my hands. And I was doing Feldenkrais, come to think of it. I had not come up with the circles yet. And I was shocked at what I was feeling on his back. And he wanted like really careful work on it. And it turned out that when he was 6 years old, he fell off a piano. Don't know what he was doing up on the piano. And he was lying on his back with his foot up for like many months. And he'd never recovered from that. And it was interesting because he always had trouble with relationships. And I think because nobody could hug him. It was painful for him to be hugged, but he didn't know that. And this getting in touch with our bodies, getting to with the connection, as you said, Chanel, the connection with the emotions and the physicalness of our body. And of course, our experiences, they're all connected. And I hope that like somehow that these discussions will bring you in touch with yourself or a client you may be working with and just give another possibility. Becky, I see your hand. Go, please.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm so glad you told those stories because I'm thinking about this in the context of as a psychotherapist, when I'm working with clients who are survivors, and I don't know that this is true for everyone, but what I have often found is that in the beginning of their work of reclaiming their body, that much deeper touch is far more meaningful for them and allows them to reclaim faster, which seems antithetical to me, but I've kind of learned to honor that. And what I find is that as they reclaim often, not always, that desire for the deep touch gets lighter and lighter and lighter. But I also am sitting here thinking as someone who has suffered any kind of trauma, there's also that piece of giving them control of determining how deep, and the fact that you are asking immediately disconnects you from a traumatic experience because a perpetrator would never ask. Does that make sense? That it puts you in a completely different category. But then I also think about years ago when I was young and I was doing a massage thing where we were working some stuff. And I remember a piece about that. I remembered being in my dad's arms and I would have been an infant. And he was kind of bouncing me up and down above his head. And I was bawling because it was terrifying. He had no idea because I was pre-verbal. And the massage therapist said, well, okay, I'm going to put my hands around your waist and I'm going to squeeze in. You tell me when that feels safe. And there was this piece that flowed over me. And I said, oh my God, that's wonderful. And she said, I have to tell you, I'm squeezing as hard as I possibly can. This can't remotely be comfortable. But that part of me who was so disconnected from my body, it took that much pressure for me to connect. And in that moment, I said, not only do I feel fabulous now, but I know immediately the next thing I need to work at, which is when I fell out of a tree and had all the wind knocked out of me. Because now that I can feel more, I'm feeling that constriction. But so I do think there is a piece about reclaiming the senses.
Yes.
And with T-Touch, we help people do that. But I do think when there is that request for harder work, I almost always think, really? But we really have to trust the person's body that you're working with.
Yes, and that's really important because, and Teresa Cottarelli, this is something we need to bring more in our classes in Europe because there's been too much of the light T-touch, 1, 2, maybe 3 pressures, but it doesn't serve everyone. And there are times when a person can't, as you said, Becky, they can't connect until you go to the, until they can feel themselves. And they may not be able to feel until it's a six or sometimes even a seven pressure. And Angela, I see you, I'll get you in a second. I did a couples week long retreat in Wyoming many years ago. And we had two couples. One was a doctor and his wife who'd been a nurse, and he only wanted a two pressure on his body, and she couldn't feel anything less than a six or seven. That's when she got to her comfort zone. And they learned to give the other person what they needed. And the other couple, the wife had Bell's palsy. And I'm telling you, on a one pressure, like all the way down her shoulder already, I couldn't use maybe half a pressure without it being alarming. And then so I worked on the other side till it went with also a very, very light pressure until in the end, her husband, who was a contractor and couldn't feel with his fingers. And you know, anything less than an eight is like, what, are you there? And she had to learn to go in there. And this is where this point, I'm just coming to realize there may be some people who have to use that point in order to go deeper, because you sure can't, you know, you have to have very strong hands to go fingers and joints. As Becky, as you pointed out, there can be no tendency to subluxation, but it's more than that. They have to be really strong. But I could go deep. And the point is, what's really shocking for you Feldenkrais practitioners, God, I had the good fortune one summer I shared a house during the training with Mia Siegel. And Mia almost every night would say, lie down, Linda. And she'd do a session on me in the evening. And I had some real stuff going on with my right shoulder blade. And I'm telling you, a couple of times I almost hit her. She hurt me so badly. And all you have to do, instead of going in deep, all you have to do is 1 1/4 circles once, and then it opens for an entry in. And then you can go as deep as you want, and the pain isn't there. It's really interesting how that makes a difference. And as you said, Becky, it's that empowerment. This is why we call that ninth element the empowerment feedback scale. And it's not always easy when you're doing massage, Megan. Most people who go for a massage aren't used to giving any feedback. Man, it's just like do something great for me, you know. And to really say it in a way that you can encourage them to give feedback is interesting. Now, I'm going to give Angela, then I think Anna, and then Ava. So Angela.
Well, I had the question come up this week about the difference between T-touch and massage. So I was explaining about the oxytocin, talking through. And then the question was, well, if massage is releasing all the cortisol into the body, how does that give people relaxation? How is that a good thing? And I just sort of said, well, it's different because it's affecting, rather than cellular level, it's at the tissue level. But I said, let me come back to you on that one. So yeah, it's perfect timing with all the talk on massage.
Perfect. So I'm going to leave that open and see if any of you have, before I give you what my theory is. So any thoughts about that question of how can a deep massage be relaxing to somebody? Is that your question?
Yes.
Yeah. How would we explain that to a person who loves deep massage? Because there are many people who do. Any thoughts on that? You can just unmute yourself. And
well, I'll say this, that I did have a client that paid me to come to Phoenix to give him a really, really deep massage. I was worried, but there was no hanky panky. And I had to use my elbows because he was pretty dense. Men tend to be more dense. And what I always would do at the end of a deep, deep massage is something very light, like especially holding the cranium, the occiput, and just something where you're almost just holding them. And I think maybe at the end of something like that, if that's what they want. And then, and I didn't just say, is this okay? I was like lighter or deeper with most people. But this fellow wanted as deep as I could do it. It was quite exhausting, and he paid me a lot of money. But anyway,
thank you.
Something about integrating at the end of the deep work of something very light, almost holding that, and some energy. I mean, flowing some energy around, which would integrate it, and they would just drift off beautifully and feel really relaxed. So that was what my experience was.
Well, think about it. If somebody wants really deep work, I'll put my theory in, actually, is if a person has been like holding themselves together their whole lives, as many men must have to do what they do, you know, to always be on, to be the, not show any emotions, don't have any feelings. I mean, fortunate many, I hope many of us know men who are not like that, but a lot of men must go through life like that. So that my theory is they can't feel themselves, and to actually get in, and perhaps it's like aerating soil. You know, that's why I love this deep sponge touch. And if you had added the sponge tea touch in with, you know, circle and a quarter in, then really deep into the body, that gives such an interesting, as deep as the body allows, you know, that gives a really interesting possibility of activating the communication, opening the communication lines between the cells. But that's just, and so that my other question is, I wonder, this is just like off the wall, if people who really can only feel deep work, I wonder if they're used to that cortisol, you know, this stress hormone. But that's like, I don't know. I say that and it doesn't feel right. Never mind. Any other thoughts about that deep work?
Yes, it's Dilly, Linda.
Dilly. Yes.
I was actually wondering whether the people that like the really deep massage, they obviously don't feel their own bodies. Right. And it's perhaps the only way that they can get in touch with their own bodies. And when you are in touch with your own body, it gives you a whole different slant on life and actually makes you feel good. And I wonder whether this is why that they like the deep massage.
Yeah. I think it, I mean, that certainly makes sense to me. If you go through, you know, fighting your way through life, which some people have to do, and then they don't feel, and then they can't feel. So could be. Thank you. So we had other hands up. Kirsten, help. Actually, what I'd like to do is take a 10-minute break. It's right on the hour, 9 o'clock right now for me. So let's take 10 minutes, and then we'll come back. And then I want to show you just a two-minute film after this, after we get your comments and your questions. And Victoria, I want to talk... I want to lead you through a process for all of us. 10 minutes.